Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, where, due to a very special event, an almost once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see a new Indiana Jones film, Mason.
Oh, you were just talking about the release of a movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a big deal to you?
That's a big deal.
You don't love big movie?
I love big movie, James. Don't get me wrong. I love big movie.
They don't come around that often.
Movies?
Indiana Jones, they made three in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And that's bloody it, am I right? There's only bloody three Indiana Jones. There's only, that's the only ones I can
nice.
Consider. I bought the fourth Blu-ray and I blew it up with a stick of dynamite.
So your contention is there's only three movies, but there's four Blu-rays.
Yeah, because I bought them all, but I blew up the fourth one to make a point.
But if you think there's only three movies, what was on the fourth Blu-ray?
No, because I'm saying I acknowledged it to purchase it.
Oh, interesting.
I used my purchasing power,
but then
I exploded it.
Right.
Anyways, we're going through the trilogy. Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom.
James, it's Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost
Ark. No, it's not. They changed it, Mason. I'm angry about it. Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, Crystal Skull. We're gonna hit them all.
There we go.
No, we'll do all four. Starting with this one. What I like about this
one. The first one. Mm.
It's so real. Which is a weird thing to say, but like the foliage, the sweat, everyone looks like they're going to shit their pants. Like at any second.
Which
is true of the actual filming of this.
That is
Everybody true. Had dysentery. I know, like famously, the swordsman fight was cut out because Harrison Ford was like, I'm going to shit my pants. Can I shoot him with a gun, please? Which is a very real world thing that would happen, I feel.
And isn't it fascinating that Harrison Ford admitted to that? Or somebody did.
Yeah.
Somebody spilled and he went, yeah, that's true, actually. Because he could have said, I thought it'd be a funnier joke if I just shot him.
Yeah.
And everybody would have said, we agree with you. You're very handsome.
You're a genius. And as far as we can tell, nothing else is going on with you.
That's right.
You know how, like, some people... And it's not just actors, but it's people.
Okay.
They've just got it, you know?
Yeah.
There's nobody like young Harrison Ford.
Absolutely.
They just don't exist.
Mm.
He's a unicorn, Mason.
Yeah.
And I know, like, Die Hard is credited for, like, introducing the everyday action man. And I guess that's true in the sense that, like, you know, it was in the modern day and it came after, like, the muscle-bound heroes. But this is a little bit before that.
Mm.
And it's just... It's obviously because all of the stunts are real.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff like Harrison Ford does himself for this one, not so much the next one, which we'll talk more about next week. But it just, I can't even explain it myself.
I would argue also that everybody in this movie has got it.
Yes.
Like I would argue that Karen Allen's got it.
Yep.
Jonathan Rhys-Davies and...
He's got it.
They've all got it. All the other people?
The other people do have it.
You threw me off because I was like, I'm going to name some people and you're going to go, he's got it. And then it just threw me. I couldn't think of a single other person. The guy that plays Belloc.
Sure.
Like I think the best part of this movie for me personally, it's probably the action set pieces.
Yeah.
And past that, it's the casting. Like it's people. I think Spielberg has like a gift for casting all these people to make even like, maybe uninteresting scenes like feel compelling. Like the scene where
they've got it.
Yeah, they've got exactly. Yeah. There's the scene where Indy is explaining to the government guys like the significance of the staff and the Spielberg's cast a couple of government guys who were like, ooh, how interesting.
Yeah.
Ooh.
They've got it.
They've got They've got the skill at, like, just listening intently.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you probably know this, and a lot of people who watch this probably do, but, you know, for those who don't, Spielberg's dream was to direct a Bond movie. And until recently, you had to be British to direct a Bond film.
Right, yeah. Lucas, now you can't be British.
That's
against
right.
The law.
They flipped it. Mm. And so George Lucas came up with this concept of this, like, pulpy 1930s, 40s kind of action hero, which is a throwback to, like, serials of that era. After he'd made Star Wars, he was on a holiday and he's like, I don't know, he could be like, he's a ladies' man and he's a grave robber and he's a defiler of history. What do you think? Are you interested?
Sounds like he's got
it. Yeah, he absolutely does got it. And I just think, as an archetype, it's like it's a reintroduction of things we've seen before.
Mm.
But again, like, it just feels very fresh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. By night, grave-robbing archaeologist action adventurer, you know. Mm. By day, sexy college professor is just constantly trying to avoid unwanted advances from young women.
And doing work.
Yeah, also doing
marking,
work.
Marking, you know, writing exams, reports, et cetera, and so forth. Mm.
Everyone gets a B. I bet everyone in his class gets a B.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I love about this also, you know, that idea that everything is real. There's, like, real spiders and snakes. And, you know, unlike one of the movies which people, you know, do not like, The Last Crusade, there's a lot of, like, CGI rats and things in that, which people don't care for. And I understand that. I get where people are coming from. But this one, before we hit that CGI era, Mason, 1989, it's just, I mean, that...
Molina's, like, got so many spiders on him.
I was going to say, like, a back full of tarantulas. Crazy.
Mm. It's amazing he's still in the movie industry at all.
Yeah, I
would have given up after that, honestly.
Completely agree. So a few things, I guess, that I noticed about this movie that I've watched for, like, the 100th time. So Marion, when she's doing that shot drinking competition, she drinks 10 shots along with that other guy in, I guess, maybe an hour, let's say.
Right.
Probably less. That's like an inhuman amount of alcohol. She cheated, right? Because she's up and she's doing fist fights and whatever and she seems mostly fine. Like, that's a con, I assume. And I know later she, like, outdrinks the French guy.
Yeah.
What do you think's going on there? Just an incredible liver.
Yeah, I think
just
that's
a
it,
body
yeah.
failing.
James, I'd rather bloody be a good liver than have one. You know what I mean?
Not wrong, you know, Mason.
I think I think she's just a drunk. She's got a high tolerance.
Yeah, you're probably
she's,
right.
What else are you going to do up in that frozen north? You know what I mean?
Why would you even be there?
Right.
Yeah. I guess because something terrible happened to her. We'll talk about it. The other thing is, I love, and I'm sure you can speak to this more, the assorted looks that Indiana Jones has.
Yes.
Like, you've got his classic attire that that he opens with. You know, it's the khaki shirt and the leather jacket in the rainforest and all of that. And then you've got his professor attire. He's got his airplane traveling suit.
Oh, my God, I'd forgotten about that one. A bit more profesh.
Yeah, that's right.
Less tweedy, very double-breasted pinstriped, absolutely.
He's got his driving gloves if he wants to do a big truck action sequence, which I appreciate. So this look is actually based off Charlton Heston's outfit from the movie Secret of the Incas. I don't know if you've ever seen any images of that, but it's identical. It's just ripped straight from that, which is fine. I'm okay with it. Because, look, frankly, who wore it better? Come on. Let's be real, Mason. And like you mentioned, just the action sequences are just so fun and well thought out and staged.
For the most part. There is a moment. There is a
moment.
Is
it a bit where he takes that punch and he flips the wrong way?
Yeah, there's that. But there's also a moment where there's a fight in the market, the market stall area kind of thing.
Yeah.
And clearly Spielberg's gone, okay, Karen, Indy's going to be punching some guy. So if you could just, like, pick up a piece of pottery and just lightly brush somebody on the head with it.
Sure,
just do some stuff. Just do some background stuff if you wouldn't mind, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like the scrappy fighting that's going on. He's just destroying people's livelihoods and laundry. At one point, a truck goes past and he just lines up the driver and he just executes him.
Yeah.
Like, straight up.
Yeah.
Incredible, Mason.
That's pretty good, right?
Just point blank.
Yes.
Shoots a guy in the head. Man. And the only person who didn't get sick on this was apparently Spielberg, because he only ate SpaghettiOs. He brought that over and somehow survived on that. It's amazing.
Steven SpaghettiO.
Yeah.
The fact that that's not his nickname in Hollywood is astounding then.
Well, maybe we could change that. But I mean, I don't know what that would do to your insides, because I can't imagine it would be much better than what was happening to everybody else.
Maybe in that scene where we're introduced to...
Balok?
No.
Sala?
No.
Marion?
Yeah, maybe in the scene where we were introduced to Marion, he drew on his own life experiences. He's like, listen, Karen, just imagine you just have to eat, you're eating 10 bowls of SpaghettiOs, but you've got an iron stomach. She's like, what? It's like, it doesn't affect you because you love SpaghettiOs, but for whiskey or whatever.
Yeah, but don't worry, I'm pretty confident the nickname will not catch.
What? Karen SpaghettiOs.
That's you. I think my favorite action sequence in this, though, is the truck rescue.
Mm.
Everyone's just fucking eating dirt, just rolling around in it. Uh-huh. People are going off cliffs. He fights German Paul Hogan. That's just all good, man. It just the blood and the glass bits like falling off the truck as he's scrambling around it and just the leaping about and like swiping Nazis off, brushing them against trees.
Mm, like some spiders off Alfred Molina's back.
Exactly. Mm. Just incredible. Yeah. Like to this day, like the idea that you got Harrison Ford and you're just dragging him behind a truck in right. real life.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, couldn't do it these days.
No, he...
in this PC culture.
It's true. I love all of that.
My favorite action sequence, I think, remains... him fighting the giant guy on top of the plane.
Yeah,
well, and it's spinning around and the gasoline's slowly making its way towards the trucks and the fire and oh my god.
And a lot of that stuff that you do today with propellers or helicopters in movies, that has to be CGI due to safety reasons, obviously.
Mm.
And just the fact that you can't do that here. I mean, you're probably not going to use like real propellers, but you know, it just looks so good, all of that. Man, everyone's getting machine gunned. It's insane. This is an insane movie. When you look at it as something like you haven't been watching since a kid, it's just insane. The fact that somebody made this in this era is just wild to me. Anyways, there is the criticism, and you might be aware of this. It's a popular rumor that's been going around for years.
A rumor?
Well, it's a rumor, a theory. I think it was popularized on the Big Bang Theory, but I think it was like a cracked article maybe before
this. What you're talking about. Yeah. It's that... if Indiana Jones wasn't there, everything would probably be fine.
Yeah.
Like, if he wasn't there, the Nazis probably never would have found the location of the Ark.
Yeah.
And it would probably have taken them a really long time. And then even if they did, they would just probably open the Ark and they'd all die. And then another expedition of Nazis would show up.
Yeah.
And they would open the Ark and they would die and so on and so forth. And then there wouldn't be a World War II.
Exactly. But I don't
believe... Thanks a lot, Indiana Jones.
But I don't believe that, like, them opening it in the desert and him being there,
yes,
that's integral that he survives that to get it out of there.
Mm.
Because without him there, where does it go? What happens to it? He needs to be there to call the Americans and go, you're not going to believe this. You're going to have to come and get me. I close my eyes, but I think it was God. I'm pretty confident it was God.
Mom, can you come and get me? Annie, this is Army Intelligence. Army Intelligence, can you come and get me?
Yeah, and if you look at like what he does along the way, he kills like 40 to 50 Nazis.
Uh-huh.
I mean, other people as well, but Nazis. I think that's important.
Sure.
You know, he saves Marion, like, at the bar. Like, who knows what was going to happen to her at that point.
Mm.
And them rekindling their relationship leads to the creation of Mutt Williams, which is that's probably the most important thing that happens in all of these movies.
I think so, too. That guy can wear the heck out of a leather jacket.
Yeah.
Who would be a friend to the apes if not for Mutt Williams swinging through the trees?
Exactly,
you know? So what you're saying is if Indiana Jones wasn't there, things wouldn't have worked out so well for Indiana Jones.
That's what I'm saying.
Personal growth and big-time bonuses for old mate Henry Jones here.
And he calls his mum to come and get him.
That's true, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also, like, Indiana Jones was being followed, right? Mm-hmm. So I think Balok probably knows about the Ravenwoods outside of Indiana Jones. So I think this is something like he was across regardless.
Yes.
So, you know, just that's what
just
I
just cool
think.
Your jets, cracked.com.
Yeah.
Settle down, all right? Stay out of my feed for 1 second, will you, crack.com?
There is
I don't know if they're still around.
Yeah, they're doing something.
Okay.
They fired a bunch of people, as all websites do.
Yeah.
But there is a question of if the Nazis retrieved this magic box with God in it.
Yeah.
What do you do with that? Like, can you refract, like, the laser that comes out of it with mirrors to shoot London? What do you do with it?
That's a really good point.
Do you send it in? Do you, like, send it as a gift?
Sure, you Trojan horse it. Maybe you do. Maybe you gussy it up as something quintessentially British.
Yeah.
Like,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Horace Minor, and then you drive it into Parliament or Buckingham Palace.
Yep.
And
you write for Churchill on the side
yes,
of it.
Yes, and the Queen. You write. Or the King.
Yeah, King then.
King
yeah,
and
sure.
Queen, maybe.
Sure, yeah.
Get them both. Yeah. Knock them both off in one fell swoop. Yeah, maybe. But then also, like, Indy and Marion survive by just closing their eyes.
Yeah.
But is there more to it than that? Because otherwise, I guess it would work until everybody just realizes they need to close their eyes.
Sure, yeah.
But also, maybe it just kills Nazis.
Yeah, maybe it kills bad people because it is the Ten
Nazis,
Commandments.
James.
Sure.
There's a difference.
There is. You're right. There is. There are degrees.
Yeah. We appreciate both sides here. If you're a viewer, we thank you. No, just kidding. They're the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe why wouldn't, like, maybe closing your eyes is no different. And
yeah.
You open it up on the battlefield and it just kills Churchill.
I mean,
we know what you're going to do, Churchill.
Yeah, that's not a terrible outcome. If you don't know, maybe look into it. Maybe type Churchill famine into Google and just do some light reading. Just go from there. I would have loved, though, if Indiana Jones did shoot it with a rocket launcher.
Yes,
because
right.
Because what the fuck does that look like?
Yeah, you know? Right. God's wrath being shot with a bloody anti-tank missile. Who knows, man?
That would have been insane.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm.
And I guess my question is as well, what's the message of the movie? Is it don't look at God? Like, God fucking hates you. Don't even have a peek. I don't know. And I feel like them squirreling it away. I mean, this is also, I guess, the point and kind of the joke at the end of the movie is that it's dangerous that this thing has just been boxed and forgotten about.
Yeah.
But like the idea of somebody coming across that in the year like 2040, you know, or the 50s as we see, in a later movie. But yeah. So I like his glasses, right? I like his glasses.
Okay,
I'm
going
to change direction here for a second,
right.
If you don't
mind. From God's wrath on earth to his little glasses, sure.
Yeah, but I think, and this is going to be something that evolves over the three movies, I think there's like an inconsistency in his use of them. Because his teaching has got them on, which says to me that they're reading glasses, right?
Uh-huh, sure.
But he seems also not to have a problem seeing somebody at a distance. Like if somebody's written something on their eyelids, hypothetically, he can see that.
He can see that, yeah.
But then when he's off on his little adventures...
He doesn't need him at all.
He doesn't need him at all. So I just want to keep an eye on this over the next few movies.
All right. I mean, a theory is emerging, of course, that they are fashion specs.
Yes, that is what I'm implying.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, is it like a disguise? Is it almost like a Clark Kent, like alter ego kind of thing?
Oh, okay, you know? Right.
More of a metaphor or whatever. Mm. So you don't recognize him when he takes them off? Is that what this is?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just Mr. Magooing it out there. maybe he can't see. I mean, you know.
I mean, he did shoot that guy in the head.
Maybe he was aiming for his arm. Yeah. I'll just wing this guy and, oh, no.
Now, Mason, I want to talk about ages.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, I want to talk about just the only thing I really need to cover, I feel,
okay,
is the ages of everybody at the time that they filmed this movie.
Okay, the ages of the actors or the characters.
Which would have been 1980, which is when this was filmed. Harrison Ford was 38.
Okay.
Karen Allen was 29.
Okay.
Paul Freeman, Balok, 37.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Here's one for you.
Yep.
John Rhys-Davies, 36.
Incredible.
William Hootkins, 32. That's Porkins. He's one of the
government guys.
Yeah. Love all of that. And I don't know whether there's anything else here. Is there anything else we need to discuss which is, say, age-related to the movie Indiana Jones?
I mean, I don't think we have to.
Now, look, I need you to know that if you want to go into this, I do have extensive notes.
All right, then let's do it.
Okay. For those people who don't know, the script states that Marion is 25 years old during this movie.
Okay.
Right? And it's mentioned that she had an affair with Indiana Jones 10 years earlier. He's...
Yes.
Which would have made him roughly 27 years old.
Okay. And she's 15.
15. Yeah. Now, George Lucas apparently said...
Yes.
...that it would be more interesting if the dynamic was she's 15, like, because then it's like, maybe don't. That's bad that you did that.
Mm.
But Spielberg's like, why don't we just make her 16 or 18?
Or
like 25.
You know? Yeah, right. Sure. Or last, it was last year. Yeah. What can happen in a year?
Yeah. And here's the thing, though.
Yes.
Karen Allen has come out recently in defense of this, and she said, look, it was wrong and you knew it. I think maybe that he led her on in some way, but when she said she was a child, I think she meant she was 16, something like that. So, yeah, the idea that, you know...
Well, they are all coming to Disney Plus in the US very shortly at time of recording. And I'm wondering if maybe there'll be a cheeky edit in the new version where she's like, Indy, you took advantage of me. I was only in my mid-20s. And you were also in your mid-20s. We were the same age.
What I think is funny also is that it's mentioned that Indiana Jones and Abner Ravenwood had a falling out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this, I assume, right?
Yeah.
Look, and now I know, look, a lot of people might be coming to the comments and going, what are you going on about? It was the 1920s. It was a different time. But just remember that you're defending fictional characters and a terrible thing. I just need people to bear that in mind,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
Nobody's happy about this. Yeah. Nobody needs to justify any of it. I mean, Karen Allen, of course, she's in the movie. I get it, but it's just, it is how it is, I guess.
Yeah, and if you're going to complain about inconsistencies, the gun that he looks at before he throws it in the suitcase, it's a different gun. He looks at the gun.
What?
And then he throws it in the suitcase, it's a different gun.
That's incredible.
Slightly different.
That's good.
Yeah.
What a trick.
Also, they didn't have Walter P-38s in 1936.
No?
They came out in 1938.
Where'd he get it?
The future, probably.
Yeah, but also I think like a bunch of stuff in this movie didn't happen.
No, that's also true, yeah. Maybe God sent it to him.
Probably.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a different gun. That's
There's
a lot of different. There's a lot of gun inconsistencies in this movie.
Sure.
Mm.
Well, let's get into it.
Okay.
You got a list?
Not really.
I don't know. Just stuff,
I noticed. Yeah, we'll skip it. Don't worry about it.
Maybe let's move along.
Yeah.
Anyways, everybody, it's time for...
How does he have a Browning high power in 1936, James? I know they came out in 1935, but an American with a British handgun...
You're saying
it'll be a year later?
Mason, there's probably a video game or a comic or a novella.
That explains where he got the gun.
Where he got it from.
Yeah.
Britain. Yeah. Winston Churchill gave it to him.
Winston Churchill gave it to him. Thanks for stealing all this stuff, Indy. We'll pop it right in the British Museum. Here's a gun in exchange. You can shoot anybody you like with it.
Not legally, but you can. Yeah. You can just shoot whoever.
Yeah. Each of the bullets has my face on it.
Anyways, it's time for Raiders of the Lost Trivia.
Hmm.
This is a trivia segment of the show where we look at some things and go, wow, these are some fun little tidbits.
Mm.
It also stops people from pointing out obvious things we didn't mention.
Yeah.
So Indiana Jones and the Infernal Machine, a popular video game, Tomb Raider style, has a bonus mission where you actually return to Peru and you retrieve a second idol.
Oh!
You didn't know there were two idols, did you?
No. It's so you can get to replay the scene where you grab the idol and the big boulders are falling after you. Yeah.
You walk past Alfred Molina and you're like, idiot, look at this idiot. Should have thrown me the whip.
I'm gonna let the spiders eat you now.
So Spielberg's first choice for this role was Ford, but Lucas didn't want to cast Harrison Ford again off the back of American Graffiti and then, of course, Star Wars, because he didn't want to be like, you know, De Niro was with Scorsese. He didn't want that kind of dynamic.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So they actually went for Tom Selleck.
Okay, Magnum P.I.
Exactly, but he was, of course, committed to Magnum P.I. There's actually a screen test of him and Sean Young playing out one of the scenes, and they're like, we could be in a movie too. Not this one.
Right.
But of course, he did make a number of like Indiana Jones knockoffs. There was High Road to China a couple years after this.
Okay.
There was Quigley Down Under.
Quigley did go down under.
Which sounds like a sequel to
Quigley One. Quigley in America. Yeah.
Quigley in his home state.
That's right.
Friends
of Quiggleton. It's a long family legacy.
Even his character in Friends. All of these people trying to recapture the magic of Indiana Jones, and they didn't quite get there.
Then Harrison Ford was in Blade Runner with Sean Young.
Yep.
Huh.
He actually got Blade Runner off the back of this because they went, wow, he's actually an incredible actor.
Yeah.
Should we
use the George Lucas rule of don't use a really charismatic actor who makes successful movies again?
Yeah.
No, let's just hire him, I reckon.
Well, the reason they weren't going to hire him is because they thought he was actually frozen at The Empire Strikes Back. So this came out in 1981 and they went, oh, I don't think that was real. I think we could probably call this guy.
Mm.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to do this, here's a little hint for you. The way they got that monkey to do a Nazi salute is to hold a grape up on a string. Took 50 takes.
There you go.
You know?
They could have put the monkey's arm on a string.
No.
Huh.
Grapes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Or they could have indoctrinated it into Nazism, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's 50 takes indoctrination. They can't be that different in,
right?
Like, time span.
I think so.
Yeah. So you've probably heard this, though, but there's been much discussion about how does he jump on the submarine and survive that trip? Like, how do you get inside a submarine that's submerging, right?
Now, I think, is it the case that back in the day, submarines mostly didn't submerge that far?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
That's right. They actually filmed this scene, and there are some images that survived it. He lashes himself to the periscope and just gets dragged the entire way there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I want to end on this piece of Raiders of the Lost trivia.
Oh, yes.
It's the Paul Freeman ate a fly controversy.
Who's that?
Belloc.
Oh, yeah. That famously youthful actor.
Yeah, I know, right? So the moment where Indiana Jones is threatening to blow up the Ark, which, by the way, he should have done because it would have been insane.
Right, yeah.
You see a fly crawl into Paul Freeman's mouth and it does not fly away.
I see. That's against the very spirit of the fly to not fly away.
Exactly. So people have analyzed this in like 4K and HD restorations or whatever.
Okay.
And that fly
does
definitely not leave his mouth. Mm. That's important that you know that. But apparently what happened is, this is the rumor, that there are actually a couple of frames that are missing in this that were cut out as a joke. So it looks like they recognized it and it looks like that he ate the fly.
Right.
I don't know whether that's true, but that's the story.
The frames are out there. They must be. You know, some people collect individual animation cells.
Yeah.
Some billionaire somewhere has got a couple of frames of a fly coming out of a man's mouth and he's like, look at this.
Nobody's got this. Now, the box office for this, on a budget of $20 million, it made $367 million, with also a couple of re-releases around the time. It was the biggest movie of the year.
Mm.
This is also the only Indiana Jones movie to be nominated for Best Picture.
Huh.
Which, again, speaks to, like, nobody had made something like this.
Mm.
It's wild.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only one that comes close is Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. You know?
I do know that.
And we'll get to it.
Mm.
That's my third movie, Mason.
Yeah, I see where this is going, yes. I get it.
It's not a joke, Mason. I'm serious about it.
It is a joke and you're being silly. You're being a silly Billy.
You know, look, maybe some people don't like us to be silly.
Mm.
Or maybe they do. And if they are interested in a bit more silliness that's paywalled.
Two silly Billies.
That's right. You can head
two
up.
Silly Billies taking your money.
You can head over to BigSandwich.co, where if you sign up, there's a bunch of exclusive stuff. There's video game Let's Plays.
That's right.
There's movie commentaries. Mm-hmm. There's bonus podcasts.
That's right.
Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, that comes out there early on Sunday as opposed to Monday. And, of course, these videos, Caravan of Garbage. Lawrence, who's editing this particular set of films, is getting them done early, and they are going up early if you do want to see them.
Thank you, Lawrence.
But it will cost you.
Yeah, that's right.
Money.
Better loot some tombs then.
You're going to have to.
I guess.
You do what you can. Or if you just want to support us here and whatever, or, you know, this is your last video, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's all good, man. Uh-huh. All right, join us next week for Temple of Doom. And you might be like, isn't that a really nasty movie?
Mm.
And wasn't it nasty because both George Lucas and Steven Spielberg had divorces like around the time
they divorced one another?
They did.
Mm.
Anyway, we'll get to it. We'll talk about it next week. Thanks everybody for watching.
Rub that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. We're both dabbing, aren't we?
I guess.
Yeah.
In a manner of speaking.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.